Soundstripe.
They say I'm young, they say I'm dumb, but what they don't know, it's where I've been and who I am.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, Trail Mix Podcast, where we answer life's biggest questions. Like, does your chewing gum lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight?
And if my e-bike battery runs out, can I pedal back?
Oh, yeah. Man. Yes. Anyway.
You can pray for us. Take your meeting, yes, right?
Please do. Please do. We need it.
Feel fat and sassy.
So I think we can kind of sum up what tonight's going to look like by basically saying this. We're going to talk about what discipleship looks like, and not just like the discipleship, not the thing discipleship, but the act of discipling. And I think a lot of people get this kind of skewed or weird idea of what discipleship or discipling looks like and is. I guess let's just start with that. What do you think? What would you, if you were going to describe what discipling someone is, how would you describe it?
That's a good one. Disciple someone. So let's think about this, man. Let's break it down for like disciple. Like, I wanted, that comes from the word discipline. Would you agree? I'm like, I don't have a.
I believe that's correct. Yes.
Yeah. So it's a discipline. Like, it's a. You know what? Just for funsies, I'm going to look up the word discipline, or one of us can look up the word discipline real quick. Because that'll give us a. Where is it? There it is. Dictionary. Boom, boom. No, not the baseball team. Oh, discipline definition. Then they say your phone doesn't listen to you.
I know, right? Yeah.
All right. So right off the bat, it says the practice of training people to obey rules or a code of behavior, using punishment to, or there's a comma there, so let's put that there after the word behavior, using punishment to correct disobedience. I don't know. I kind of disagree with that. Like, I mean, you can. Well, I guess punishment. I mean, punishment's a, you think of punishment like a harsh word, like, anyways. Another one is a branch of knowledge, typically one studied in higher education. to obey rules. So that's, so when we think of discipline as in a biblical manner, if you will. So kind of drawing a blank here, man. Like, you want to, the point of discipline in a biblical manner is to follow Jesus' teachings. And the first step of following Jesus' teachings is accepting him as Lord and Savior with all your heart. And then it's game on from there. Discipline, you know, to be a disciple, like follow, there's this is going to be like a big rabbit hole, I feel like. Because it's like, so Jesus came to show us and pay the price because we screwed up in the beginning of how it's supposed to be, and it'll never be exactly how it's supposed to be until we get to heaven. But Jesus came and taught us and gave us scripture on how to have a relationship with God and other people and discipline other people if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And so that's where discipleship comes in. So like if you're a believer, so then you want to share that with other people and lead them down the same path you're on as a believer in Christ. And you use the Bible for that, scripture. Right now, I discipline my children. I disciple two other guys. Anyways, yeah, so, and it's great. It's fantastic. And they're believers, and you have material, obviously. That's one, first and foremost, the Bible, and all the material you're using better be biblical and based off the Bible and full of scripture. That's what we do. That's when we read the Bible, we share our thoughts, we pray together, and we go through the content and whatever. Discipleship aspect of life, or one is for I think we actually started it, you and I, on this, and it might have been last year, just a book called what is it? It's way over there. Hold on. I'm cordless, I can reach it now. And it's called Directions. Anyway, it's a cool book. It's like a big fat workbook. It starts with the basics of discipleship, how to meet Jesus, how to know Jesus, how does scripture work, how to grow your relationship with Jesus and God, and everything. And then there's a disciple another guy for a whole other deal that we won't talk about, but it's all part of life and so on and so forth. But yeah, so that to me is discipleship from a biblical standpoint. There are other disciplines in life to learn. I think when you use the word discipleship, people instantly think of a religion, if you will, some sort of religious indoctrination. I think that's how most people's brains work. Like, there are other disciplines, what you do, you know, if you're an electrician, there is a discipline for that. Learning, you know, that's what it is, learning. You have to be disciplined in that, otherwise you're going to get barbecued.
Right.
You know, you got to know what you're doing. So, yeah, or carpentry or whatever your profession is. So, but there's other disciplines out there, but the best discipline is through the Bible. I mean, everything else is secondary after that.
Right.
That's what I think. I'm pretty sure I'm correct for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the analogy there of like the different professions, like, you know, the trades, and you have disciplines in each one of those trades. And I think that's kind of an imperfect picture of what discipling somebody biblically looks or is, because me as an electrician, my father-in-law, he's a master electrician. And so, I mean, in a worldly sense of the word, I am one of his disciples. You know what I mean? Like, that's, this is going to come across sounding really crazy and kooky probably over the, without having the right context. So, this is worldly, I'm talking here, not biblical or any sort of, quote unquote religious or anything like that. So I, as an electrician, I submit myself to him as being a master electrician. He knows the things that I shouldn't touch if I don't want to get barbecued. Right? And so I'm learning those things, he's coming right alongside of me and not just telling me, don't touch that, don't touch that, don't touch that. He's walking through that with me and saying, okay, instead of touching that, turn this off up here. Now you can touch this. You know, and so I think that's kind of a good imperfect parallel to, you know, our walk with Jesus. You know, we are disciples of Jesus, you know, because we're submitting ourselves to him and his I don't even know what the right word is, whatever.
Authority.
Right. We're submitting ourselves to him as the ultimate authority. And so it's kind of the same basic principle. He's not just like, God didn't just give us this book with that was full of rules of do not do this, do not do that, do not do this. He's walking right alongside of you saying, don't do this, but I'm going to, through the Holy Spirit, I'm going to push you this way to do this. And I think, when you think of discipling somebody, I think a lot of people automatically go to the, if I'm discipling this person, then that person is submitting to me as a, some form of authoritative type figure. And I don't believe that's what discipling is. If I could try to make it understandable. Okay, so we hike, right? And so discipling by that perspective, like I'm taking on that authoritative figure, then then the person that I'm discipling is at the bottom of the mountain and I'm at the top of the mountain yelling at them to come up to the top of the mountain with me, right? The way I see discipling somebody is I may have been to the top of that mountain already because I'm helping somebody to get to the top of that mountain, but I'm walking that same path with them and helping them get through the obstacles that I may have already seen, you know. And I think the parallels there is like, I don't know, just for the sake of this example, we'll say pornography. See, I've dealt with the addiction of pornography, and through the power leading of the Holy Spirit, I was able to overcome that. And now that was my mountain, right? So overcoming that addiction to pornography was that mountaintop. Now I could come back down the mountain and meet the next person that's there in the same place I was, and I can walk alongside of them up that same trail, and through the Holy Spirit and scripture and my personal experiences on that path, I can then help that person get to the top of that mountain, the whole time giving glory to God, because he was the one that got me to the top of that mountain to begin with. I don't know if that makes any sense whatsoever, but that's
No, that makes sense. Yeah, because I'm like, you have to go to the top of the mountain and then come back down. You can't be stuck at the you can't not never have been to the top. Because you have to figure, you have to go to the some you have to go to the top. You have to have that knowledge. Then you have to come back down, and you have to be willing to share it with someone else who's like. I'm like, hey man, I want to climb that mountain. I'm like, all right, I'm like, I know how to do it. I can help you if you're willing.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes. And that's an
Yeah.
imperfect kind of analogy too, because that when I say come back down the mountain, it doesn't mean that you're reverting back into the addiction. It's basically seeing somebody at that same place that you were at and telling them, look, I've been there, I've been there. I know what's in front of you. Let me walk with you and help you navigate through some of that.
So let's use this analogy. I just thought of it, like a firefighter. Like so you show up on, so all the firefighters show up on scene. And then the building's full of people. Let's just use a house. And so the one firefighter goes in and starts and gets somebody. And then another firefighter wants to go in, but he's gonna run in and he hasn't been in the building yet. Well, you've already been in the building. So you're like, whoa, wait a minute, like, all right, here's how it's laid out. Timmy, Jimmy, and Sally are in three to already out Bobby. You go here, I'm gonna get that, you go here. So you have the knowledge of the in the house, even though it's already, you've made it in and out already. You're good to go. You're ready to go back in. And this other person wants to go back in, but you're gonna be like, hey. Before you go back in, this is what you need to know. Before you go in, period, here's what you need to know. Oh, good, good. All right, cool. Now we have a plan. Because now, does that make sense? Is that this kind of
Yeah,
game? I'm
no,
like,
100%.
yeah. Because I'm glad you said that. Like, you're not going back down. You're not getting back in that mug
Right.
to like start all over. You're going back in, but you're like, hey, I've made it through this. Let's go. I can get you out, man. So, or I can help you get through it. You can't, like, it's up to them to want to do it. But, like, you have, yeah. Like, you want to get out of the mud, you want to get out of the burning house, or you just want to think you can do it on your own because you're going to either be stuck or dead or whatever. So, yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. Yeah. You can't water stuff down all the time. You got to make people think. Sometimes I think we water stuff down too much. Yeah, that's why I like the that's why I like Jesus' parables because I'm like what? Let's think about this for a little bit. Yeah, discipline, discipleship. Yeah, I struggle. I don't. Yeah, I just feel like if you're really really, 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 if you've really done it, if you're really following Jesus, you should be able to like discipleship. You should be able to do stuff for people. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe I have a big heart, and it's really starting to show through. And I'm like, I'm not. People think, I don't know, they see me. If you've ever seen me, people on the, I don't know who listen to our podcast, but maybe a lot of people have never seen me. But I'm like, I'm a pretty fun guy, to be honest with you. I look like I'm not a fun guy, but I am a fun guy. But maybe too much fun sometimes. I got the ER bills to prove it. So. like, I struggle with the fact that it's probably going to ruffle some feathers, but like, I just feel like Christianity, like following Jesus, is like, everybody's like, yeah, I follow Jesus or I believe in God, but like, no one, I just feel like no one wants to help or whatever. But it's like, I always say, like, you know, if a barn burns down for the Amish, an Amish guy, like, within like a day or two, they got a new barn, you know, or you take the Mormons and it's like, oh, there's a fly in here. Get out of here, man. Go. Sorry, people. Don't even see that. I'm like, oh, Kung Fu, we were trying to get rid of a fly. My one arm. Anyways, just think of all these other places, these other quote-unquote religions, or I don't say factions or groups of people, groups that like something goes awry, they're like instantly, you know, within a day or two, everything's quote-unquote back to normal for these people, you know. But it's like, but it's like pulling teeth to like get Christians. I mean, when's the last time you saw a group of guys, Christian guys, get together and like built a barn in a day? Or reached out to someone's house, or just, you know what I'm saying? I'm not giving anybody, trying to make anybody feel guilty or anything. And I get it. It's the same age old question. I know I'm not the first person to ever ask this question, but I'm like, just eats at me. It does. Mm-hmm. It really does. And I'm just like, why can't we? I really feel like if you're going to follow Jesus, you just go flat all in, man. Just go all in. Just go bananas. Like, I don't have a job, like, quote-unquote worldly job. I mean, I could pretty much do whatever you want me to or ask me to do. But I still get phone calls to come do floor and tile. I probably got a tile job in a couple weeks. But which is super helpful. God's timing is always perfect. This one is perfect. Because really, we can use it. Anyways. I lost my train of thought. If you just went all in, like, it's a wild ride, you know? I mean, sure, if God's called you to do XYZ, like be an electrician or a plumber or whatever, that's great. Like, but if you can't tell, I just feel like there's, I don't, if he's called you to do it, are you doing it?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's super sketchy. I can attest to that. I can every day. I'm like, oh, that was crazy. Is this going to work? Are we going to? I think we've become too reliant on, but once again, this is probably, maybe not, man. I feel like society is changing by the day. It's like, I swear it's getting worse out there. But it's like, it's just heartbreaking on both ends of the spectrum. Like, society's getting worse. Yeah. We're trying to do our best to, like, spread the word, but it just feels like no one wants to do it, you know? I saw a meme today, and it's probably the first time I'm ever going to mention this guy's name. It was from, I don't know, it was a meme or what. Anyway, it was from Ted Nugent, of all people. And it said, we have law book in the United States, like the law, like it's a 100,000 page book, all because we can't follow 10 rules that were carved in stone. I was like, yeah, that's you can't say it any better than that. I'm right. Just like, yeah, I just one of the things I struggle with, I sit around and I'm like, I had a conversation with my pastor the other day. I'm like, how? I'm like, is this how you feel all the time? Because this sucks. I'm just like, it's like, we're telling people, but nobody's doing anything. Is that, I don't, yeah. And I get it. Like, I came from that. You know, like, oh, somebody else will do it, or you're not quite all the way in with God, or whatever. You know, and like once you get in, it's like, where's everybody? You know, it's just something I struggle with, really. It just, and I'm not upset with anybody. I'm just like, man, is this maybe I'm just like, you get convicted, or just, I don't know if that's the right word, just like, is it just convenient when we want to believe or go to church when it's convenient for us? Because like following Christ is not convenient. It's a headache. It's a pain in the butt because it goes against every fiber of your being that you want to like just go have a good time. You know? I mean, I wasted 30 plus years. You know, tell me if I just straight up wasted them. Like, you know, like good. I blew the first 20 some, and then, you know, the next 10, 15 years is probably like kind of blew it, kind of not blew it, but you know, pretty much blew it. You know, you weren't all the way in, so like, you know, yeah. And then you just, I guess I'm the kind of guy, some people just get it. I mean, yeah, just. For, I don't know, I had to be pretty much beat to death. Yeah, so it's like, once you got it, though, you're like, yeah. And it's, you don't have, you know, it's a learning curve as you go all the time because you just, there's days you're just like, I might start drinking today. I'm just like, I wouldn't, but it's like, yeah, I'm just kidding. I'm like, I'm not going to lie. I'm just, I've been days, you're like, how to. Why did I leave my house? Holy smokes.
Mm-hmm.
Good night. Thought my dog was aggravating. Goodness. I'll take my dog over people any day. but yeah, but following the other, so like following Jesus is not, one, it's not boring. Who?
Yeah.
It's pretty fantastic. I don't know why there's balloons on my screen all of a sudden.
I don't know.
That was weird. Did you see that?
I did. Yeah.
maybe that was from God when I said,
I know, right?
Calling God's not boring. I got balloons. Yeah. Anyway. There's a lot of laughter. But there is discipline, and like if you have it and you want to discipline or disciple other people, but it's like, yeah, is it just convenient? Are you doing it? That was my whole line of thought for tonight, was like, obviously the discipline, but like our discipleship. But I don't know, hopefully that makes sense when I'm talking all this. Because I know I'm not the only person to think this. I'm like, I just struggle with it, though. I just feel so like, why? Who cares? I don't care. Jesus doesn't care. It's a flipping holiday. Let's go. People need help. You know? Somebody might fall through the porch today. Or, I don't know, somebody doesn't have water today. Oh, do it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Today's Sunday or Saturday. Or I gotta go do this. I'm like, frick, man. Just come help me. We'll get it knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
I just struggle. Yeah. I go around. I'm just like, I know I'm not the only guy. I can't be. So anyways, that's my thought. That's where I'm at. That's what just runs through my head, man. You learn to have such a compassion for people when you want to help them. It's like everybody should have that. But if everybody had that, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in. So here we are. Thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, like, I want to go back just a little bit. And you're talking about when was the last time you've seen Christians, you know, come together and build a barn or whatever. And I would, this is one thing that I struggle with a lot. And I would add to that question, when was the last time you've seen a group of Christian men come together to do something like that for somebody that was not a member of their church?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because part of, and this is the part that I think we screw up royally, and I am most guilty out of everybody when it comes to this. When it comes to sharing the gospel, sharing the love of Christ, a huge part of that is showing grace. And when I get really, really convicted when I start asking myself about this kind of thing. So what is grace and how do I show it? Well, grace is giving somebody something good that they don't deserve. Because that's what God did. I deserve hell, and he gave me Jesus.
Right.
So how do I show that to other people? I'd show that by giving somebody, doing exactly that, giving somebody something good that by worldly standards they don't deserve.
Right.
And it's like,
sorry, go ahead.
Well, I said that gets really difficult because it's something that by worldly standards, oh, they don't deserve that. Why are you doing that for them?
I know. And so on that note, like I'm tortured with the fact that, like, yeah, they don't deserve that. But then I think about, like, all right, I was in their shoes at one point in my life. I didn't deserve that. And then, like you said, you know, you just said that, but the Bible says, treat your neighbor, love your neighbor as yourself. And it's like, you know, and I struggle with that. I'm like, because one, like, you don't want to, like, you know, you see somebody or somebody's different, you're like, what is wrong with that person? Or you get up, you know, just like, you're like, you can't be that though. You know what I mean? It's like, You have to, like you said, show grace. Like, essentially, kind of, it's almost like giving the person the benefit of the doubt without, like, the judgy, without, like, the judgment, you know? Like, because people say that, like, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, blah, 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 but, like, you're still thinking, like, all right. You're not really into it, but like, so erase that. But like, so yeah, you know, I like last week I was in DMV, and here we go. I was at the wait of my turn, and I'm at the desk. They call me up, and believe it or not, like, as much as I don't like to go to the DMV, I have to say, like, I went on a Monday, so I'm like, I don't even know if it was real busy or not. Anyways, I think it's run fairly well in Missoula. You may think I'm crazy, but like, I've never waited more than probably 20 minutes, period. And they have a little kiosk, you punch your name in, and your number, and your phone number, and they're like, hey, you got like a 9-minute wait, and I'm like, cool. So, whatever. Anyway, so I get called to the front desk. All the windows are busy. And you want to see how society functions, just spend some time in DMV because you will see things you didn't even know were possible. It's like, what are you serious? There's always, like, as smoothly as I think it runs, it ran, at least it ran pretty smooth that Monday, last past Monday. On one hand, it ran smoothly. On the other hand, I swear to you, it's one of the most oddest and pretty much, I think, useless government entities you could possibly involve with. But everybody is. But anyways, there was a guy, like, and God bless these people behind the glass, because they put up with some of the ridiculous stuff. And I get it. Their hands are tied on a bunch of stuff. There's just the ridiculous amount of rules. But anyways, there was a guy up there. He was at the window like three times. He left twice. He was an older guy. And he's like, I was not there for 30 minutes. But he had to go move his car twice because he was parked in a 30-minute zone. No more balloons. Somebody likes what I'm doing. Well, he's like, he just walked away from the window. He's like, I'll be right back. I got to move my car. I'm parked in a 30-minute spot. And I'm like, what? I'm like, after like the second time, I'm like, one, I have not been here for 30 minutes. He's moved his car twice. I was ready. I'm like, I was just ready to give him a dollar. I'm like, here's a dollar, dude, for the meter. You can just leave your car there for an hour. How about that? Anywho, I'm at the front desk. Man, I was super polite, you know, had all my paperwork correct, blah, blah, blah. Out from the back around, there's desks in the back too. And this person came out, and they were, even if they're transgendering, if they're whatever they're doing, going from one to the other, you can usually tell. I couldn't tell with this person. I think it was a dude. Pretty sure, trying to be a gal. And I was like, whoa. And it, like, the announcement they were using, the microphone they were using, like a legit mic, like you would see on stage or something. They would make the announcement, hey, so-and-so. And this person was calling people back. And so anyways, like, I scooted over a little bit just so they had room. You know, because I was kind of hovering over the microphone. I scooted over so they could get it. I'm not afraid of these people. I mean, I'm not afraid of that person. But I stood there and thought, I'm like, well, you know, I could be really detested and grossed out and a whole other list of things, you know, or I can be like, you know what? Something happened to this person in their life that caused them to be the way they are. And I felt bad for them. And I felt sad for them for like the first time. I'm like, I was slightly annoyed at them though, because I know the name they were using was not their real name. And it was my mom's name, and that really chapped me for some reason. Just like, that's my mom's name. Other than that, I felt really bad for him. Like, I know that sounds petty, but like, you know, but if you're listening to this, imagine someone using your mom's name incorrectly. So you can so imagine. So here's a rabbit hole. Imagine how Jesus or God feels when he uses his son's name incorrectly. So there's food for thought.
Yeah, that's quite the rabbit hole here.
Yeah.
I have some pretty interesting thoughts on that one.
Yeah. There are some, that would be a very good topic to talk about. Cause I've heard things like, I've never thought of it like that before, but anyhow, oops, back to the light here.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so yeah, you just feel bad. I felt bad for these people. I'm like, what happened in their lives? Who didn't disciple these people? Who didn't share? Man, how did they just flat out reject Jesus or You know, it's not a religion. It's a relationship. I can't stand religion. But mm-hmm. it's like... And then my other part of my conviction is like, am I supposed to say something to this person? Or, you know, you just like, I just feel like the deeper you get in a relationship with Jesus and God, you're just like, okay, this, you see things in a different way. And you're just like, I get it. So I kind of felt bad when I left. I was like, man, maybe we should just have church down here on the lawn, or just, and you don't have to have like church, you know, I just went to church and like, just get the church people down here to like, hey man, what's going on? Cause I'm like, there was plenty of people to talk to down there around the one square block, the county, you know, whatever you call it, the building, courthouse takes up, you know. There's quite a number of people down there that could use the good word, you know? So, yeah. I just, those things just eat at me and convict me and just, you know? I'm like, what are we doing? Are we really doing it, or is it just convenient when we want to, when we want it to be?
Yeah.
You're just keeping Jesus in your back pocket, you know. I heard that Thursday. I was like, hmm. So, those are my thoughts on discipleship and being discipled, and just, yeah. And I'll be the first to say, I am not perfect by any means. So I'm like, I'm just like, yeah. But it, yeah. It's tough, man. It's heartbreaking to see these people. You're like, what? What happened? What do you, you know what you're missing? You don't know. You need to know. You should know. Why don't you want to know? Truth told, not everybody's getting into heaven.
Oh, right, yeah.
No?
Yeah.
And people are like, well, God wouldn't do... I'm like, God didn't do that. You did it to yourself. You know? That's right. So that's a whole nother... Man, I'm just like... raw tonight. Just... yeah, that's, I mean, it's just been on my mind and heart a lot, all the time. And it's like super, and it's super convicting to myself too. I'm like, what am I doing about it? And how am I treating that person? Have I been there? Yeah, I have been there. Maybe my sin and deal was a little different, but it's got me in the same boat. Fortunately, I got out of that boat. So... yeah, that's my thought. It's tough.
Yeah, it's hard because you can't. You just can't. You get the one side where. You know, you start seeing where maybe our brothers and sisters in Christ are, you know, not getting outside the four walls of the small C church.
Yeah.
But there's really, you know, aside from the Holy Spirit stepping in and convicting where conviction is needed, you know, there's no more chance of me making that happen than there is me making somebody come to Christ. You know what I mean? Like, it's... And that doesn't mean that you don't do anything, but I guess it's like you plant the seed, right? You, that whole idea of planting a seed.
Yeah.
And I think that works both ways. Like, just having this conversation, ultimately, so I would have to believe that somebody's going to hear this, and that's, you know, plant that little bit of seed. Like, well, what am I doing, and what can I do to do better, to, you know, show grace and look outside of the church membership list. And then the other side, obviously, you know, you're planting the seed, like, just sometimes it's just as simple as not being mean to you know, that person you're talking about behind the desk that was on the mic that may or may not be trans or whatever. That, you know, some days it might be just as simple as not being mean to them. You know, that's enough. Yep. For them to say, wow, that person was different. Like, everybody I've come across today has either looked at me judgmentally or spoke to me judgmentally or put me down or whatever, and then just that one person was decent, was nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess part of sharing the gospel and part of sharing the Jesus with somebody is being okay with not being the one that prays the prayer with somebody. You know what I mean? Like, what I say to somebody might start the person down that path to that, but that might not be the, I might not be that person that they come to and say, I'm accepting Christ today. You know, I heard a saying, the hardest instrument to play in all of music is second fiddle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I think, I think that rings true sometimes when we start thinking that, well, because we don't see the end result. We just, it might just look like a passing interaction to us or to me at the time. And so those interactions get discouraging almost because you don't see the result of it. And that's really what I try to battle against, is that discouragement mentality when it comes to virtually every interaction that you have with almost everybody. Yeah, I don't know. There's really no for sure 100% answer to any of this stuff, other than, you know, for us as believers to do a lot of praying, and when it comes to interacting with our fellow believers, to not be mean about it, but not sugarcoat things either. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, like there's like having a meeting at church about what they're gonna do for whatever it might be, some sort of outreach, or if there's a meal train's a good one to bring this up at, because that obviously that's a good thing to have happening. Somebody in the church body is having problems and they need meals. Mm-hmm. And then, so that's a primo opportunity to go, hey, look, guys, we're taking care of this member of our church, which is phenomenal, and it's great, and I love doing it. I've got a neighbor down the road from my house that, from outside appearances and little conversations I've been having with him, they need this just as bad as our church member.
Oh, sure, yeah. Definitely.
You know, let's do this for them, just out of just for no other reason other than showing the love of God and showing grace. Because you know, for all they know, for all you know, maybe you do know the backstory. Maybe the person was can't hold down a job because they're I don't know, whatever, lazy or something else that might make it. By worldly standards, like they're getting what they deserve.
Oh yeah.
You know, and then you show up as a they Christian and say,
hey, sorry.
Yeah, no, you're good.
Yeah, they deserve love and grace.
Yes.
Yeah, the condemned world judging people—that's a conundrum.
Right. 100%.
That's a huge. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I couldn't keep my mouth shut on that one. Sorry.
But yeah, that, and I think that's one thing we can do. And obviously, you know, have to rely on the Holy Spirit to give you the words and the bravery to step up and say that kind of stuff to fellow believers, because and be ready for some sort of backlash too, because you're gonna run against that when you start promoting things like this, where you're, because we're all guilty of judgment and showing partiality and all that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, totally.
So you're going to get people that are going to be like, well, why should we do that? They're making their bed, let them lie in it. Those kinds of responses.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear you. Yup. It's tough out there, man. Not that you don't know that. It's just tough out there.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to keep doing what we're called to do, you know? Nicholas for everybody.
Right.
Yep. You got to get outside your comfort zone. So.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, yeah, because
we've been doing this podcast kind of, for 4 years.
What's that?
I was going to say, like, getting out of your comfort zone. I'm like, who, you know, I used to like not talk to people. Now we kind of had this. God to speak to us, like I can almost remember the night. I'm like, I was thinking about it. Well, I've been thinking about it all week, and then we were doing this one night, and you're like, hey, what do you think about a podcast? I almost fell out of my chair because I'm like,
yeah,
dude, that's been on my brain all week. Here we are, three, four years later, just like, yeah, doing podcasts and just, yeah, God can use anybody to turn anybody around. So, yeah, it's funny. I feel like, I mean, we say the same thing every time we record. So the more I do this, I'm just like, is this, I know I said this earlier, but I'm like, is this how like pastor feels all the time? Or maybe, you know, the guys from the Old Testament, the prophets would just like tell people, like, hey man, just prophesize stuff, and just like nobody listened, or just like not that more prophets or anything, but like
right,
a couple of guys who believe in Jesus were just like, hey, yeah, just try this, it's a pretty good deal.
Right.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah. It's a roller coaster of emotions, I guess, and mindsets. Yeah. But yeah. The best we can do is just share the word with people. Just tell them. Try to tell them. Plant the seeds.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, honestly, though, you know, we talk about how bad things are and how it seems like everything's getting worse and whatever. And, you know, to me, I guess it's almost, this is going to sound nuts, it's almost an encouragement. Because, yeah. You know, if you have a candle, right, and you're standing in the middle of a room, and there's bright lights everywhere, right? And those bright lights are on a dimmer. And you start slowly sliding that dimmer down to where all those lights start getting really dim. The darker that it gets, the brighter that candle's going to shine.
Yeah.
Yeah, to the point where, you know, when the lights are on full blast, you might not even know there's a candle in the middle of the room. But by the time those lights go totally out, there's no denying that that candle is there. And so I think, you know, as much as it sucks going through, you know, everything getting bad and all the nasty that's out there, eventually, and maybe that's what it's culminating in or working up to. I mean, obviously it's working up to that, you know, with the second coming, but it's going to be absolutely undeniable at some point.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, how do you top that? Well, I guess that brings us right back to starting point with being discipled. Yeah. If you're a follower of Christ, find somebody outside your four walls. Unless there's people inside, unless you have a calling to do something inside the four walls.
Oh, yeah. Do both. Yeah.
But maybe do stuff inside, and then our firewood. I mean, I don't know if I would qualify as a quote-unquote discipleship, but it's definitely outreach missionary work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, that's reaching good.
People that
that's
don't...
good. That, go that's ahead. A very good...
Go, go, go.
That there's a difference between outreach and discipleship. In order, okay, this is my opinion here. This is, so everything, it's like, in order for discipleship to happen, you have to begin to build a relationship with this person or with whoever it is that you're discipling, right?
Right.
Outreach is the beginning of that relationship. And then, as that relationship grows, discipleship just naturally progresses from that.
Mic drop.
So you have to have the outreach in order to get to the point of discipleship. And like you said, just because, you know, the wood ministry isn't necessarily discipleship, it is 100% outreach. And that's where that wood ministry is going to ultimately end up in discipleship of others.
That's genius, dude. You just summed up the past hour in like 10 seconds. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I don't know what else to say. Yeah, I don't. That's brilliant. That's absolutely brilliant. And it's true. 100% true. Yep, that is 100% true. That was awesome.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's the only way that anything that good comes out of me.
Yeah. I'll vouch for that. Same over here. I'm useless on my own.
Great.
Yep.
God's timing is Holy Spirit's timing. Took him an hour, but he...
I think he just let us drive around for a little while. And then he's like, all right, I'm going to stop these fools. Pull it over! Let's talk about this for a minute.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that was awesome. That was fantastic. Well, I don't know what to say. Get some discipleship or go do an outreach. And then start a discipleship. Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think of something snappy. I cannot top what you just said. And Holy Spirit's like, take a break, pause that guy. Oh, man. Yeah. Well, that was brilliant. Yep. 100%. So, yeah. Yep. Discipleship, discipline, outreach. Get it. Get some. Start some. Yep. And with that said, can't top what Phil, but the Holy Spirit lay upon Phil. So I'm calling it, man. Yeah. We love you.
And God loves you.
Peace.
So.